I'm Hillary.
And I'm Sandra. Coming up on the Quick and the Dirty podcast, we're going to talk to a porn star named Voodoo.
Okay, Sandra, first of all, I never thought I would know a porn star. I also never thought I'd know anyone called Voodoo. So it's a big day.
Same. I'm totally with you on this. I'm so excited about this interview because, you know, I mean, there's a million questions to ask, but I want his number, his sex number, man. That's like big for me. I'm dying to know how many zeros he has on it.
I need to disinfect just thinking about it.
I know, me too.
But we're going to find out coming up.
The Quick and the Dirty podcast with Hillary Welch and Sandra Plagakis.
We're going to start things off with you, Hillary. Something happened to you in the last couple of weeks, and I got to say, you gave me a hell of a scare.
Oh, Sandra, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you scared the hell out of me when you sent me a picture of your broken arm on text. You're in a hospital, and you're banged up and you're bruised because you got into a car accident.
Yeah, it wasn't the best day of my life. A couple weeks ago, I was heading off on vacation, heading home from work, and smash, bang, boom, broken wrist. The good news is that the airbag exploded on my wrist, but the face was saved.
Oh, thank God your face is okay. I forgot to ask. I didn't want to be rude, but that was my first question. How's your face? So it was the airbag that did that to you.
Yeah, absolutely. They explode at a pretty quick speed.
I've seen the slow motion things like on Dateline NBC when they do the crash test dummy stuff, and it looks severe. So you got it in the wrist, and then you said you got a bruise on your stomach?
Yeah, the seatbelt bruise, and then I've got like some pretty bad bruising on my legs. But luckily, I don't sit like a lady in the car. I sit with my legs open. So it was like the side of my leg and not my actual knee. So there's no real damage.
You know when you see the aftermath of an accident, because I saw your car. There was a picture of your car on the news, actually.
Yes. There's also footage of me vomiting on the news. That was a whole new low.
What? You threw up after the accident and they got that?
Yes, because I looked down. I didn't realize my wrist was broken. And I was talking to someone and I looked down and I saw it. And then, like, the nausea set in. And then I'm, like, tossing my cookies on the side of the road, sitting down, and like the news came by, clearly a slow news day, and like got me from behind as like the EMT is holding the vomit cup. Like, it was not a good day.
Well,
like,
you know, it could have been worse.
To injury,
it could have been worse. You could have been wearing a station shirt. That's how it could have been worse, right there.
The good news is everybody involved is okay. Yeah. My car, well, I paid it off 2 weeks before the accident, so that was really great.
Of course you did. It's a write-off?
Yep, absolute write-off. So I get a new toy. That's fun.
You do, but you walk away relatively unharmed, relatively.
Right. It could have been a whole lot worse, so there's that.
So, but you know, yeah, you sent me a picture of your car, you know, from the news clip. And I saw that. And I mean, I saw that you were broken and bruised and all those things. I saw that. And I got to tell you, I got so upset because you start playing the would have game. What could have happened? You could have bought it right there and then. And it was very apparent by seeing your car and the condition it was in.
Yeah, it was really kind of scary. And Sandra's so cute. Oh. She calls me. It's the cutest thing. Sandra calls me and you start explaining about how you were kind of taken aback by the pictures or whatever. She starts crying on the phone. Like, what? Sandra has a heart? When did this happen?
I don't remember. Yes, of course I started to cry.
It was the cutest.
When you start, and I'm going to start again now, because when you start like realizing how fleeting life is, then you start thinking, oh my God, she could have been killed in this car accident. And I don't know that Hillary knows how much I love her. And I wanted you to know.
Are we? We're having another moment because I'm tearing up.
Shit, I am too. But I just thought to myself, I hope she knows how much I love her and how much I care. Because I don't know if I ever tell you that. I mean, we say love you all the time, but I do love you and I care about you. And it would be devastating. I mean, I go on with the podcast, of course, but it would be very devastating.
You bitch. You bitch.
I'm kidding. And I just, you could have fucking died.
It's really terrifying. And it makes you rethink a lot of things in your life. Like, when was the last time you told the people in your life that they were important to you? And
right.
Like, I thank God, like, I had thought about bringing my dog to work that day. He would have bit it.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
If you were that banged up. So, wow.
Because he wouldn't have been in a seatbelt.
No, of course not. So, oh, my God, that's awful.
Like,
it's an awful
thought.
Yeah. But you're playing the what if game, too, which is I'm playing it, too. We all do that. You know, something bad happens. Somebody, cheats death like you kind of did that mm-hmm. day. And then you start thinking, oh, my God, it could have gone a completely different way. And then what?
So I think we have to like play the other game, which is like the thankful game. And the grateful game.
The grateful game. So I'm grateful that I have you in your life. I'm grateful that you cheated death that day. I'm grateful you didn't bring your dog because that would have devastated you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that nobody else got hurt.
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, it was all in all a good day.
It was a good day. And it's going to be an even better day because now we're going to talk to a porn star.
Yeah. If you needed cheering up, Sandra's like, okay, I'm done with the crying.
I'm not crying anymore. Now I'm going to be happy. I love you very much, Hillary.
I love you too. This conversation, I am not even ready for it.
Well, you better assume the position in that case.
Oh.
You know what position that is. I think it's safe to say that most of us have probably seen a little or a lot of porn by now in our lives. And we probably have a lot of questions, if we could, to ask a porn star. Well, I think that Hillary and I are pretty lucky today. We are very excited to welcome adult film star or porn star Voodoo.
Oh, my goodness.
Welcome.
What an introduction. I like it.
Well, first of all, I just want to ask you, are you an adult film star? Or are you a porn star? Do you have a preference or is there one?
I don't think there's too much of a difference. I think that a lot of people don't like the word porn star because it's a little more graphic than adult film star. I think adult film star only came around just because of the conservative types that didn't like to use the word porn. But it's pretty much the same thing. We take off our clothes and we have sex for money.
Right. And then you think people say adult film star because it sounds classier?
Yeah. It's just a little classier, but it's the same thing. I mean, the only difference in the movie making industry is whether you're doing, you know, full hardcore sex or if you're doing, you know, non-hardcore sex, which then you're classified as a B-movie star, you know, where the sex is simulated. But I do real sex, so it's a porn star or adult film star. It's the same thing.
Do you look down on the people who do the B stuff?
No, I do. I've got a huge following in the B stuff. So I've done a lot of the B stuff. So I go actually under a different name for the B stuff. My porn name is Voodoo, but for the B stuff, because they considered themselves a little bit more Hollywood than porn, they didn't like the name Voodoo. I don't know, because of some kind of weird, crazy cult kind of annotation to it. But my B-movie name is Alexandre Boisvert.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Classy. I hit that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Suddenly you're hitting the top of Google searches everywhere.
Totally. I've already Googled you, by the way. Voodoo porn star and then hit images. I've seen everything I need to see.
Yeah. Was it a big surprise?
It really was a pleasantly big surprise.
So now that we've crossed that threshold, what are the qualifications to become a porn star? Like, how did you get into it?
Oh, I got into it really by accident. I mean, I was born and raised in Toronto, Canada. And then by the time I was 19, 20, I wanted to go on a big extreme adventure. So I hopped on my motorcycle, crossed across the country, went to the U.S. ended up in California, ran out of money, and porn was an option presented to me just by total fluke, and I got into it. And apparently I had the qualifications necessary to become a porn star.
By total fluke? What?
By fluke. That sounds very cliche, like they found you at the bus station like they used to for girls.
It was almost like that. I was literally just hanging in L.A. and I ran out of money and I had no money to get back to Toronto. So I was like, either I sell my motorcycle and buy a plane ticket or I go to one of these porn production companies and present myself and try to make some quick cash doing some porn.
So when you were presenting yourself, did you literally walk into the office and drop your pants? Like, what was the process? Did you meet somebody? What happened?
It was literally like that. I mean, the first place I went to was a big studio called Vivid Videos. They're one of the big porn production companies. And I was pretty much laughed out of their office. There was a couple of like delivery guys going, you don't get into porn that easily. You gotta come in with a beautiful woman and this and that. But if you're going to give it a shot, go down to this agency down the street called World Modeling. And that's what I did. I went down the street to World Modeling where they told me, drop your pants. We're going to take a poll. This was back in 1999 where they were still using Polaroid cameras. And wow. I dropped my pants and everybody went, wow. And there happened to be a director there that was looking through the Polaroid books. And he asked me if I wanted to do a job the very next day. So I was like, okay, what did I have to do for this job? He said, you show up, we're going to have a bunch of women there, and you're going to get a blowjob from one of them, and we'll pay you $100 cash.
You really don't get an offer like that very often in life, do you?
No, you don't. No, you don't. So I was pretty much like, yeah, I'm not going back to Canada for a while.
Okay, so you drop your pants, you get a blowjob for $100. Tell me more about your skills, your skill set. Because, you know, I'm saying, like, I mean, you obviously had something going on down there, and clearly you have a diamond cutter.
That was probably
very helpful.
So, yeah, size is important. It's not the most important thing. I mean, if you do have a big, large penis, you will get more attention right away for people to try to use you and cast you. But the most important thing for being a male porn star is stamina. You have to be able to last a long time while having sex without prematurely ejaculating, and you have to be able to stop and start as the director needs you to. Sometimes they have to stop, change the light. Back in those days, we were still shooting on film, so sometimes the film ran out. They had to change the roll of film, and you had to be able to keep going until they said, okay, now's the time to finish.
Right, and back in those days, there wasn't so much pharmaceutical help like there is now.
Correct. This was the pre-Viagra, pre-injectable days. Today, anybody can really give it a go because you've got all the pills, you have injectables. Injectables is actually a solution that some of these guys use these days, that they inject a needle with a solution directly into their penis to give it an erection. It was initially designed for people coming back from war that stepped on landmines that couldn't get a hard-on because of real physical trauma. But now people are using it cosmetically to attain a very, very hard-on and to be able to work in the porn industry. Go figure.
You just ruined porn for me. Thanks, Voodoo. Jeez.
All right. So let's go back to that very first job. You walk into the studio for that first $100 blowjob.
Yes.
How did it go? Because were you nervous? Did that affect things? What did it feel like?
It was very, very nervous. This was a big production. There was about 20 performers there, and it was just a blowjob day. It was just girls giving guys blowjobs. And so there was about 20 girls, 20 guys, and I showed up, and some production assistant just, you know, hands me paperwork, which I've never filled out, you know, this type of paperwork before. I had to fill out the paperwork. I start talking to some of the other performers. So I was a little bit anxious, but you got to remember, I was 20. I was a little bit starving because, you know, I hadn't had a good meal in a couple of days because I didn't have a dime to my name. And I was, you know, horny too. I hadn't had sex for a while because I was on the road riding my motorcycle to get to California. So when it came time for the director to say, drop your pants and get a blowjob, the woman that was giving me a blowjob was beautiful. She was stunning, and I had zero problems with it. With all the camera crews that were there, with all the production assistants, this was like a real movie. Not like today. Today, the porn industry, it has gotten very small because of technology. People can use digital cameras and digital this and have their own little Mac to edit on and stuff like that. They could be a full production studio all on their own. Back then, it was like 50 people behind that camera. So you really had to have, you know, the mindset of just blocking them out completely and getting into the moment. And I was able to do that. Once the director said action, I was able to just focus on the girl, and that was it. I got a hard on. And then when he said, okay, we got enough of the blowjob, here, go ahead, come on her face. It was super easy.
Wow.
Super easy.
Super easy.
Super easy.
I like that you can just do things on command. If only every other man could.
Right.
Oh, I know.
Well, is this over yet?
Yeah. I know. I love having sex with girls that have had multiple bad experiences, because then I really look like a god. It's incredible how many bad dudes there are out there. Because most girls today, well, you know, if you date, and, you know, they'll be like, oh, I'm not expecting much, you know, just do this or do that. And by the end of it, it's like, oh, my God, where can I see you again? And I'm like, oh, you know, maybe another time, maybe.
But you know what? That's BS, because you think of the porn industry, and there's pretty much nothing that anybody will not do on camera these days. Why
right.
are men so shitty in bed? There's no excuse. It's not like they don't have a point of reference.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I don't know whether it's because they're so desensitized from the porn that they're just getting off in the porn, and then they're not leaving enough of their stamina or juice for actual real life. Is it the diet that's, you know, changed for guys? He says, I don't know what the problem is, but it seems to be a big problem, because I hear about it constantly from women.
Right.
Men are lousy performers today, and it's sad.
But I think also, like, porn has set men up to believe that being a jackrabbit is how you get a girl off, which is
right.
not necessarily the truth.
No, biggest misconception, A lot of the stuff you see in porn, women don't want to even, it's not even on their radar of things, like some of these positions where they're being bent over backwards and, you know, doing all this nasty stuff from, you know, butt sex back to mouth sex back to butt. Nobody wants to do that in their real life, but it's okay.
No, everybody would have pink eye. Are you kidding?
Exactly.
And there's
exactly.
nothing sexy about pink eye.
Nothing.
No, there isn't. So I don't know. I don't know what it is. But there's also the other side that you're not thinking of, too, is some women that do watch porn these days do have a high expectation as well. And then a lot of women who use a lot of vibrators to get off, all of a sudden now the guy has to perform as good as the videos she's watching and that vibrator that has no quit on it. There's also that aspect.
Just bring it with you. Bring the vibrator into the room.
That's right. And most guys, you're right, they don't have 8 speeds, but they should.
That's right.
Now, I have a question. Going back to that very first day, it's kind of about safety. Like, do you cross your heart and hope never to get anything? Like, back in the day, you had your audition, and the next day you were getting a blowjob. What was safety like back in those days?
Oh, super safe. We missed the step that we didn't talk about before. I was actually able to go to that porn set. I did have to go and get a blood test. And back then in Los Angeles, they had come up with a new testing system that was a 24-hour turnaround, which is the PCR DNA test that they can test your blood for HIV and then chlamydia and gonorrhea and all other sorts of STDs. So when I got into the porn industry, it was actually at a revolutionary point of the testing system, which then spread across the rest of the country. But back then in LA, you could get your tests back in 24 hours and know if your blood was like clean. So I had to go do that. And that was actually more nerve wracking than going to the porn shoot, because I had never been tested before. I was a 20-year-old guy and I had had unprotected sex in my life and I didn't really know what was going on with myself. So until I got that test back the next day, I didn't really know what my situation was going to be. When I got the phone call saying, hey, you're all clear, you're good to show up, go pick up your test and then show up to the set. Oh, I was jumping up and I was happy. I was just ecstatic. But doing porn is actually the safest place you could have sex, because it is a requirement in the porn industry that you be tested every 15 to 30 days in order to be able to perform on porn sets.
That's interesting, because where else in life do you have a situation where everybody is being regularly tested? You don't. That's not a thing. But
that's
15
right.
to 30 days, that still doesn't account for anybody having sex outside the industry. Is there any kind of I mean, you could have sex with whoever you want outside of your job, obviously.
That is a great question. That's a great question that most people don't think about. When I got into it, the porn industry was a lot more tightened. You almost knew everybody. There wasn't that many guys that were in the porn industry because they like to use a small stable of guys. Girls were coming in constantly, but everybody was told, hey, you know, if you're having tons of sex in the porn industry and it's become your career, just, you know, either, you know, refrain from having sex off camera or be super, super careful about it. And then as it progressed, as the, you know, early 2000s, 2005, the internet starts exploding, more people started getting into the industry. That's when a lot more STIs started occurring and a lot more incidents started occurring, because you're right, you can't control what people do on the outside of the porn set. So yes, even the 15-day to 13-day testing wasn't 100% foolproof, but I did porn for 15 years and I never got anything. So I was either super, super lucky or just very vigilant about who I would work with, because you could always go and look at people's records as well. There was an online record of seeing who was catching what and this and that. And if you saw somebody that, you know, they were catching a lot of different things multiple times, you could say, well, this person's a little too risky for me. I'm not going to work with them.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's good that you actually had like a database situation. You know, further to what you said, that you'd been in the porn industry for 15 years and you never caught anything, you must feel like you hit the lottery, because I feel the same way. I'm from Montreal and I've never had an STD either.
Yeah.
Like, because the odds were stacked against me. You know that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, Montreal. Yeah, of course.
Now,
also,
I don't think
she's
my
a
numbers.
Hoe. No.
And I'm a hoe. But I don't think my numbers stack up to your numbers, though. Not even close.
Yeah, well, not too many people do, but, you know, a hoe is still a hoe.
That's a true story, my friend.
Now, question. You never experienced anything yourself, but did you ever know anybody who did? And what was that like?
Lots, lots and lots and lots. You heard about people being down all the time. Especially if you catch like chlamydia or gonorrhea, you have to be down for 7 days to take the antibiotics to get it. And then, God forbid, you caught HIV, which I've known two people personally that caught HIV. Yeah. And it was not a good feeling. And then you really want to just walk away from it. But when you hear something like that happen, because you're like, oh, my God, could I be next? You know, and it's just really... it really gets the whole industry down. The whole industry shuts down, actually. If there's a case of HIV, the whole industry, which is mostly self-regulated, just all the production companies shut down. They do investigation of who that person slept with. They try to, you know, narrow it down and find anybody who was infected. And it's a whole process. But I really think the porn industry should probably be a little more regulated. I hate to say, you know, by the government, because I hate when the government puts their hands in anything, because they always mess it up further. But the porn industry could probably use a big brother just to make people a little bit more safer.
All right. Well, we've had all this serious talk. Let's get back to the dirty stuff that's fun.
Oh,
I want the numbers.
Yeah.
Can we get to the number? Because we just talked about the number for a second. What is your number?
I'm pretty close to about 5,000 partners that I've had.
Whoa!
Yeah, a lot, huh?
That's a lot. Let me just put this out there now. If I met a guy who had 5,000 lovers, I could never sleep with you ever.
Well, there's
because it's too intimidating.
But then there's the side of you that's going to be like, oh, my God, I might have to see what a guy who's had 5,000 lovers is like in bed. And I guarantee you I would not disappoint you. I would exceed all your expectations.
Okay. I have one more question. How long is a typical session?
In porn, I've done scenes that lasted an hour, and then I've done scenes in like Europe for some of these European directors who are insane for up to like 7 hours.
Okay, so I'm going to do an average here. 5,000 lovers times.
Oh, she's doing math.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Times, let's say average 4 hours.
Yep.
You had sex for 20,000 hours.
Yes. So that tells you I'm experienced. I know what I'm doing.
That is divided by 12.
Oh, we're still doing math.
For 1,666, oh no, half of that. More than 500 days you've had sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I'm just, I let that sink in for a second. I mean, I can't imagine you doing anything more. Are you a master at anything else?
Yes, I'm a skydiving instructor too. I throw people out of airplanes.
Cool.
I love how it's known. I jump out of airplanes. I throw people.
Throw them out.
I throw people out of airplanes. That's my special.
Back to the numbers for a second. Sorry, not to get into all the minutiae of this, but I'm very curious to know how many women have you had sex with in a day?
Oof, in a day? I mean, again, you got to remember, I did porn, so we would do a lot of orgy scenes. So sometimes I'd have sex with like 20 women at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So and being in the industry for as long as you were, I mean, did you have favorites? Were you friends with these women? I mean, were you always... Okay, let me re-ask the question, because this is what I really want to know. Were you sexually attracted to every single person that you had sex with, or could you just find something attractive about them? Or you're a guy and you didn't even need that?
No, the second part of that was the correcting. I could find something attractive about every partner that I've had. I wasn't... every person wasn't my, you know, specific type that I had sex with, but I like getting inside a person's head. So whenever I would work with somebody, I would sit down with them before the scene, and I'd get to know like what turns them on, what their thing is, and just that little connection, that little chemistry. That's what would take it to that level that I needed to be at.
Okay, so like realistically, I want the truth here. What's more important, looks or attitude?
Oh, 1,000% attitude. 1,000% attitude. 1,000%. Just because looks is can be so deceiving. I mean, I've had sex with some of the most beautiful women in the porn industry, but they were boring as fuck. They had like no personality, no.
Did they starfish?
Yes, I've had some of many starfishes. I've had many, many starfishes, and then you have to carry the scene. You have to make it interesting somehow. So you have to do some crazy shit to get them out of that starfish situation. Whereas some other
well, at least you try to get them out of that starfish situation.
And I usually can. There's always something to do. You know, like you find out they don't like butt sex, so you stick a finger in their butt. Trust me, they wake up real fast.
That would do it for me for sure.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, everybody has my understanding about the porn industry is that the more you're willing to do, the more successful you are. Do you have any hard limits as to what you would or wouldn't do?
Yeah, I don't do crossover. Like, I don't do gay sex. I'm not gay. And there's nothing I don't think that would ever, no amount of money that would make me do that. And it's not because I don't like, you know, the gay industry. I love all my gay fans. I've got more gay fans that pay for my personal web to get onto my personal website than anything. I just believe that it's best if you do what you were meant to do, what turns you on. And so I know a lot of guys who do gay sex, and they do it using these substances today just to make more money, and they're really not happy with themselves. A lot of them suffer from depression. So if you're gay and you love having gay sex, then by all means, if you're straight and you're not attracted to men, don't do it for the money. And I say the same thing to women too, although it is a lot easier for women to do the whole bisexual thing. But still, you can tell, especially in the movie industry, you could tell when a woman is not attracted to another woman. It's not as hot as two women who are actually into each other. So gay sex is one thing that I never did. And I was never really a fan of, like, the super hardcore, physical, like slapping and spitting and stuff like that, which seems to be very popular today. I'm very against that. I don't like that. And a lot of people say, well, it's acting, it's in the movie, but I think a sex scene could be super, super hot without all of that crazy physical stuff of like, a abuser. I don't know what they call it today, but you know, there's a lot of that extreme, like slapping and choking and spitting and stuff like that. And that's not on my radar at all. So I love kissing. I love dirty talk. I love, the whole role playing and the dressing up and stuff like that. So the hardcore physical stuff was never my thing.
Can I ask a quick question about just something specific that they do in the porn world I see it and I go, ugh, it just makes me gag. But I see it all the time. Like somebody must like it when girls spit on a guy's penis before they blow him. What the hell is that?
Yeah,
or a guy spits on a woman. Who spits on people like that?
Oh,
it's never happened to me in my real life, nor do I find it attractive to spit on my partner's genitalia.
Well,
what is that? Who decided that was sexy?
It started as, you know, a thing back in the day. If you ran out of like lubricant, you know, you had to use something. So it was spit. And then apparently somebody just liked it. I guess they saw it on the video and it got popular. And now that's the big thing. Like girls will gag on the dick just so that you can get that spit going and then spit all over.
Well, I think guys like the idea of gagging because it means, oh, your penis is so big, I can't even handle it.
Right. Have you ever gagged on a penis that was so big you couldn't handle it?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that a rhetorical question? I wasn't sure I answered it. Yeah, but it's been a really long time, Boo-Boo. Been a really, really long time. And I had that.
Sandra's a married woman.
I'm in a married woman, so I can't even refer to, like, you know, I'm married. Yeah. So it's anytime I refer to sex, it's pre-marriage.
Okay, I have a question for you, Voodoo. Yes. You've done all these crazy things. You've had all this crazy sex. But in your own life, on your own time, what kind of sex do you love?
Oh, my God. I am a lingerie fanatic. So I love multiple outfit changes while I'm having sex. So sex with me.
It's a lot of work.
I know. But it's worth it. I'll tell you, you get that diamond cutter and I'll get you off multiple times. It's a lot of work if it's not worth it, if the reward isn't worth the work. But if there's a reward for it, oh, I'm telling you. And some women love it. Like women that I date, they love dressing up. They love putting on the high heels and the stockings. And that's what turns me on. So a sex session with me in my personal life, you have to at least count for like 1 to 2 hours because there's going to be at least 3 outfit changes in there. At least 3 outfit changes. And I love it. I love the music going. I love you coming out of the bathroom, all like the hair done and the lingerie and the little swaying and the little teasing.
You want the whole movie, like even in your personal life.
Yeah. I want the whole thing. I need it. I love it. I love stockings and garter belts on women. I fucking love it. I cannot get enough of it. And I think it stems back to, like, before I went to California, I had an office job where there was a woman of authority, my boss, who would come to work in short skirts every day and had the thigh-high stockings. So when she would sit, that skirt would kind of come up just a little bit, and I would see that skin, that thigh between the thigh-high stockings and the skirt, and that drove me insane. It drove me nuts. So I think that's what messed me up for my whole life, because now a woman in stockings, is that's what does it for me.
So not cotton briefs?
No.
Asking for
a
friend.
It's so interesting how every guy is different, because I don't know if he's lying or not, but my boyfriend will literally say he doesn't care. It's just a package. It's getting in the way of what he really wants.
Yeah. See, again, like, I don't think he's being 100% honest with you, because most guys love that reveal. They love to, I mean.
Maybe it's that there's not much to reveal, but.
Yeah, I get it. It's the titillation of it all. It's the buildup. Well, there are some guys, I feel like the older you are, the more you understand that. The younger you are, like, you just want to get to it, right? You want to get to the business.
I think so. And I think a lot of it, again, is because porn has desensitized so many people that whatever fantasy the guy is really into, he'll go find it in his porn, but in real life, you know, he just wants to get straight to the fucking, and it's almost become a chore for this new generation to have sex, which sucks because, I mean, I'd rather have sex than be on the internet or, you know, being on my cell phone or doing this. I want that connection with a real human being, and that, to me, I don't know why people have lost that, but to be with somebody else and to be able to be that intimate and to explore your fantasies with a real person. I mean, there's nothing better than that. These new kids need to get their heads checked.
It's clear you're a no fan. Kidding. You've done it 5,000 times.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
And how does your job affect your personal life? Is there such a thing as having both, or has it affected your personal life? Are you able to date women the way you would normally?
Today, yeah, because I'm semi-retired. I don't do it as much, but it did affect my personal life because in the porn industry, when I got into it, I got married shortly after. I mean, I was in the porn industry for about a year, and I met my ex-wife, who was a porn star as well, and we got married, and we were married for 10 years. 7 of those years were absolutely awesome, but the day she decided that she didn't want to be in porn anymore, and I still wanted to be in porn, it definitely affected the relationship, and we ended up getting divorced over it. So it can definitely be something that prevents you from, you know, being into a real, you know, long-lasting relationship with somebody, just because you either have to have a super open mind and you both have to be into it, or it's just not going to work out.
The trust must be unreal.
It's super. It's everything. You have everything is out on the table. And so that's the opposite. Most people today, they try to hide as many things about themselves as they can. In the porn industry, it's more about letting your whole cards on the table so that, you know, you don't deal with any of the headaches, because your job is already just crazy as it is. You'd rather have it just be open and honest. And if you don't like it, just walk away. If it's all good, then it can be amazing, because, you know, you're really experiencing something that other people don't fully understand, which is total honesty, total trust.
Talking about now your ex-wife who used to be in the porn industry, I imagine most women in the porn industry have a completely different experience than men have in the porn industry.
Yes, that's a definite. I mean, most women have a shelf life in the porn industry from like 3 to 4 years, whereas guys can probably do it for like 10, 15, 20. I know a guy like Ron Jeremy still doing it, and he's been in it for like over 30 years. So, it's harder on the woman's body, definitely. Like, getting fucked by all these big cocks on a daily basis, it's gonna wear you out after a while, right?
And I wouldn't know.
But there are a lot of women too that have longer careers, but do you find like they have to get into weirder stuff the older their careers are?
Yeah, exactly. And it always starts off like, you know, oh, I'm just going to do, you know, regular boy, girl. And then it's like, oh, okay, maybe I'll do like a threesome, and then maybe I'll do an orgy. And now you're getting gangbanged by like 50 guys. So yeah, that's the thing, is how long are you willing to go? And what sucks about, you know, the internet porn industry is that back in the day, girls could do porn for 2 or 3 years, get a big following, and then go do the stripper scene. But the strip clubs have died because of the internet. A lot more guys are staying in these days, jerking off to porn instead of having to go to the strip club. So that avenue of making money has been killed by the internet industry. So girls are starting to have things, if they really want to just stay into porn, they have to do it for longer. And then, yeah, it wears on them a little bit. And it can make some of them bitter. Like, I have worked with girls who have been in the industry for a little bit too long, and they show up on the set and they're just not happy, and they just want to get it done and stuff like that. So you really have to pull out all the magic tricks to make it work.
Right.
Is anybody still making any money in the porn industry? Because it sounds like that industry has been squeezed because of free porn that we get on the internet. But somebody must be making money somewhere.
Right. But the performers were the first people to get the big pay cuts, because exactly what you said, you know, because of everything being free, the director's like, oh, well, we can't pay you that much anymore just because it's so saturated out there. So that's the other thing, is it's not paying as well as it used to. So a lot of people, they're doing the webcam modeling now, being, you know, in direct contact with their fans, or having their own website, which is a lot easier today because of technology. You can do your own website. And that's what I do. I've got my website. It's an OnlyFans website. So it's onlyfans.com/voodoo porn star. And you can go and see all the stuff that I just do myself. Most of it is just me taking pictures of myself with, you know, selfie pictures of myself holding my big hard cock in my hand. And I get paid. I get paid really good money for this website. And it's a lot of gay guys that watch it, a lot of married women that watch it. And it's a good kind of side retirement income that is just easy money.
But back in the day, like, what kind of money would you make for a shoot?
I'll give you my best year. The best year I made about $350,000 US, and I was making about $2,000 per shoot.
That's still a lot of shoots.
Yeah.
That's a lot of dough. That is a lot of dough. And you sustained yourself for how many years in that business?
Literally.
I saved my money. I'm one of those smart guys that was, I don't have to, I'm 42 now, and I don't have to work the rest of my life if I don't have to. So I'm really happy with how that went and the investments that I made.
Outside of performance enhancing drugs in the industry, how prevalent are actual drugs, like recreational?
Lots. It's a party scene. You're in LA, it's a party scene. You've got your coke dealer on speed dial. Marijuana is, especially in California, you can get a prescription for marijuana real easily, and especially now with the laws changing, it's really easy. So a lot of drugs in that scene, a lot of drugs. And the people who survive a long time are the people that the other drug in the porn industry is the gym. A lot of us become gym rats, and that's what I like to do. I like to go to the gym and just work out and sweat and just get so tired that I'm just going to sleep at the end of the night instead of going out to party. So those were your two things. Porn performers seem to be the types of personalities that we have a lot of energy to expend. So like, we could go on set, have sex for 4 or 5 hours, but we're still super, super charged up, and we need to release some of that energy. And you either fall into the drug scene or you go into the workout scene. I did the workout scene and the extreme sports scene. So that's how I got into skydiving as well, too, was I was making so much money from the porn industry. I was like, what crazy sport that I could get into that's, you know, that I can, and I got into skydiving.
Back to the drugs for a second.
You
say that it's a party scene. Is it a party scene, or is it a self-medicating scene?
It's both. I'll say that it's both. There's a lot of people that do get into porn, a lot of these young girls that do get into it where they have a background of abuse, and then they're just, you know, medicating to not feel the psychological pain, and just being in the porn industry is probably not the best place for them. But because of the type of money that they make, and because it's perceived as the party scene, you can kind of lose yourself in that a little bit. And then the rest of it, you know, a lot of the guys that are in it, like myself, that got into it as just super happy dudes, like, we'll go to the clubs and we'll party, we'll do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but it doesn't take over our lives, right? So there's definitely both.
All right, I've got one last question for you. Your family, how did they find out? How was that?
They found out pretty quick. I mean, when I left in 1999, I didn't really talk to my family for about 3 to 5 years, just because, you know, cell phones weren't too much around back then, and I didn't have a way really to communicate with them by email either. So when I came back, I came back to the house to visit with my wife. I was married, and it was just like, oh, okay. And they found out I did porn, and they were super happy. I have a brother and a sister that went out and became engineers. I was the black sheep of the family, so they were pretty happy that I wasn't in jail and making a lot of money.
So it was fine.
It was fine. Yeah, my parents were totally with me. They didn't have the highest expectations. I was a pretty bad troublemaker growing up. I wasn't stupid. I went to college. I went to Humber College in Toronto and studied photography, and I got a photography degree. But I was a slacker, and I was a troublemaker, and I was anti-authoritarian. So I was getting into a lot of trouble. So when I decided to leave to California, they were like, oh boy, this kid's going to end up in jail. And then I show up a couple years later, and I have a house out there, and I'm making $300,000 a year, and I'm married, and they were pretty pleasantly surprised.
I got to thank you for being part of the podcast today. I got to say, this is one of the most enjoyable conversations I've personally had on the Quick and the Dirty podcast. I think,
yeah, like so dirty, yet somehow so informative.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And you actually, just one final thing. I know you have a new podcast out too.
Yes, it's called The Virgin and the Whore. You can find it on Anchor or you can find it on iTunes. And we just talk about a different, we like to talk about what kind of sex politicians like Justin Trudeau would have, and it's pretty funny.
Oh wow! So the virgin and the whore. Yeah. Which one are you?
I am the whore.
Yeah, you are. Thank you, Voodoo.
It was a pleasure, ladies. You guys were fantastic.
Thanks so much for joining us.
This episode is over, but the conversation doesn't have to be. Follow Hillary and Sandra on social. Instagram at Hillary on air, at SandraKiss1053. Twitter at Hillary Welch, at SandraKiss1053. And on Facebook at Quick and Dirty Podcast. Got a question? Email Hillary and Sandra, thequickandthedirty@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can download the podcast each week to your mobile device to listen offline. Find The Quick and the Dirty on frequencypodcastnetwork.com, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcasts.